Malachi, the second chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 1, chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and in equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you today for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. It's your word, Father. You had it pinned down, and Lord, thank you for it. Help us tonight. This preacher needs your power and your wisdom tonight as he preaches. We need, O Father, to hear from you the truths of the Word of God. And we do pray, O God, that the will of God be done in each heart that's here tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to bless this time in a very special way. Help our master's clubs that they're, Lord, busy during this time, ending up their teachings and things for the year. But I pray the blessings of God be upon them. Help the young children, if they know not Christ, to come to know him. And we'll thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. You may be seated. I think we covered a little bit last week concerning the fact that Malachi, the first chapter, begins talking about the wonderful love of God. We got into the last part of chapter 1 and into the first part of chapter 2, and you find God speaking to the priest. He's dealing with the priest of that time. Chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, we'll be dealing more than likely next week, Lord willing, with the fact that he begins to then deal with the people. After he's dealt with the priest, he deals with the people. I believe with all of my heart that we which are in leadership in churches, we who are preachers, I believe deacons, I believe Sunday school teachers, I believe people who are in the places of responsibility hold a great, great responsibility to stand for God and to walk with God. I believe that with the bottom of my heart. I believe God holds us accountable for that. And so we just believe that's the way God intended it. But at the same time, over in the book of Revelation, anybody who is saved, and let me just stop there a moment, a person to be saved must put their faith and trust. They must believe that they're an old sinner, lost without God, and that unless they get saved, they're going to go to a devil's hell forever and ever. And they must put their faith and trust in the only one that can save them, which is Jesus Christ. Put their faith, their trust in him, and accept him as their personal Savior. And God says that he will save them and give them eternal life. It's what happened to me back in 1966. Many of you could testify a different date and all of those things, but some of you wasn't even born in 1966. But anyway, you can testify to the fact that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Amen? And so that's the way it is, and a person must be born again. So because of that, God says over in Revelation, the first chapter, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, he tells us that we are made kings and priests unto him. So in essence, what we're saying simply is this, that we are priests of God. Now, not like the Old Testament priest, not like the Catholic priest. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about we as children of God are priests unto the Lord. Now, you say, Brother Ross, what does a priest do? Well, a priest in the Old Testament days went to God for the people. That's what they done. Well, you say, Brother Ross, did we do that? Well, we just had a whole big prayer meeting here, or excuse me, not meeting, but prayer list here. That's what we do. We do go to God and call out to God for the people. We ask for God to save them. We ask for God to help them and heal them and whatever the needs of their life are. We go to God for people. Don't we do that? Offer supplications unto the Lord. We pray and ask God's blessings and all of those things. So we're priests in that sense. And not only that, the priest went from God to the people. And so here, that's what we do. We're commanded to go out and witness and tell people about Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? We're from God. We're taking the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the people and letting them know that they must be born again if they're going to go to heaven. They must be saved. You see, that's our message that we carry. Amen. So God said, I made you kings and priests unto the Lord. We're kings in the essence that God has given us the ability and the right to run our own lives. Now, I'm saying that we are to do it according to the Bible, the Word of God. But he gives us a responsibility to be kings over our life. He should be the master. He should be the great king. But he allows us to rule our own lives. He allows us to make decisions, and it should be made on the basis of the Word of God, on the basis of the will of God for our life. But just think about the freedom that God gives us. It's an amazing thing. A person that's even, person that's lost, if they want to go to hell, they can go to hell. I mean, I'm not saying that smart aleckly. I'm just saying if that's what they choose and they want to spend an eternity in a burning fire, they can choose that. And God will let them choose that. He doesn't want them to, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants every person to come to Christ and be saved. Amen. So we start here as we was dealing. We believe that God holds priesthood accountable. So you can say, Brother Ross, are you a priest? I'm a priest in the essence of what God is talking about. You are too. That's what I'm saying. But at the same time, I hold a great responsibility. I have a great responsibility to walk with God and to serve God. And to be an example of Jesus Christ to not only this congregation, but to the world. I have that responsibility. God's given me a high position as a preacher of the Word of God. That's a high position. It really is. And he's given me that position, and I have a great, great responsibility to do right. You understand that? You believe that? I believe that. And so anyway, when he's talking here in verse 1, he says, O now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, I will curse them already. I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. You know, when a father and a mother, but a father takes the position when a child does something wrong, you know, there is going to be some kind of chastisement for that child. That's just the way it's done. God even tells us in the Word of God, you know, not to spare the rod. And so it's true also, though, when the Heavenly Father gives us instructions and we refuse those instructions, there's going to be some type of chastisement in our life. Do you get a hold of that? That's what God is saying here to the priest. You knew what to do. You knew that it was right to do this and that, and yet you did it not. And because of that, there's going to be some kind of judgment that's going to come your way because you would not follow the Word of God. Okay? That's what he's telling these priests here. So what was happening? Well, they wasn't sticking with and holding to the call that God had given. They were not doing the job that God gave to them. I was thinking today about way back in 1970 when God called me to preach. I was thinking about that in essence with this. And I said to myself, you know, wouldn't it have been an awful thing if, I mean, for me even, if I had said to God, no. And the thing about it is there's many who have. Now, I believe something. We teach it here at this church. We do not try to put pressure on young people to answer the call into the ministry or to be a preacher. If God has not called, that's not what he wants you to do. But I do believe, and we do tell young people, you ought to present yourself and offer yourself. You see, God may want you to be a preacher, wants you to pastor a church or be a missionary, whatever it might be. And we should never say no to the call of God in our life. What a terrible thing. I've thought about that. These folk who've said no to the call of God, I mean, they've said no to it. They've refused to do what God has called them to do. And I was thinking today, all the things that could have been and should have been done through their lives. Just imagine if they had answered the call, there'd probably been a lot of people saved through their ministry, brought to Christ through their ministry. But they turned that down. They said no to it. They wasted their life as to what God wanted them to do, you see. So we need to answer the call. When God calls, young men, when God calls, now you answer him. But you be sure he's calling you into specific calling of God upon your life. But you answer him when he calls. And you say yes. Amen? Now you do that. You say yes to God Almighty. You see, but also, there's also those who have been unfaithful to their call. They answered the call, but they did not do what God charged them to do. The word of God tells us in 2 Timothy that as Paul told Timothy, he charged him to preach the word in season, out of season. And there's multitudes of those who today are not doing that. They are refusing. They say they're called, but they are refusing to preach the Bible, the word of God. It's not that we're to preach what we think, but it's what God's word says. And so there's multitudes that are not answering not only the call to God, but they're not faithful in the call once they've answered it. We've got to be faithful to the call of God. Amen. It's not an easy chore, but we've got to be faithful to that and preach the whole oracles of God and preach the truth of God's word, you see. Why? Because God's called us to do that. Amen. Sure he has. But these people, and let me say to you, both of those kind of people, those who have refused the call, those who are not faithful in the call, are miserable people. Now, I've met them. I've met them all over. They are miserable people, and they will be miserable for the rest of their life. They'll always try to find some kind of way that they can blame somebody else for their problems. They're just miserable. So I'm saying to you, if God didn't call, don't answer. But if he does, answer. Amen. Do what God says. And so anyway, we find here that the priest in Judah, who he's speaking to here, had polluted everything they touched. The altar, the sacrifices, everything was polluted. They was not doing what God said to do. And God was going to come down on them and speak to them. Why? Because they held high positions as priests. And they had great responsibilities, so God was going to bring judgment on them. So first of all, he tells us in verse number 1 and course 2 I read to you. Basically, he's saying unto them, to the priest of that day, you do right or else. You do right or else. In other words, take warning that God was going to judge. God was going to take care of this matter. He was going to judge because of their unwillingness to stand and do what God had told them to do. And they just brought corruption to the whole priesthood, as we will see. I want to go back in the book of Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. keep your place, of course, there in Malachi. Deuteronomy 27th chapter, I'm just going to hit a few spot verses here. But verse number 9 and 10, it says, "And Moses," this is Deuteronomy 27, "Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God." He said, you're God's people. Amen. And then he says, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." I want you to understand that this preacher understands that he's talking to Israel here, and I realize that they was under the law. There's no doubt about that. But the principles and the precepts that we're hearing here in the Word of God is that when they do become a child of God, they are to obey the voice of God. Do you agree with that? I mean, we say we're God's child and we don't obey what he says. No, the principle here is when you become a Christian, a child of God, you are to obey the Word of God. Is that true? Amen. Can you show me scripture that it says it isn't true? Can you find the Word of God that says, no, Brother Ross, you don't have to do what God says? He doesn't expect that. Can you find that in the scripture? If so, I wish you would show it to me. Amen. I'd like to see it. Amen. I've not found it in all my reading. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what God is saying. And then over in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, he says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." You hear what he keeps saying? If you'll hearken to my word, if you'll believe my word and you'll hearken unto my word. And then in verse 3 he says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." I'm not going to read all of these, but "blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep." And he goes on and gives the blessings to these people, promise to these people, if they just mind God. They're his children, now they're to mind God. And so minding God, along with that comes blessings of God. Now he turns right around in that same chapter, verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city." See, it was just the opposite. "Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep." What he's saying is, if you'll just mind God, Israel, if you'll just mind God, I'll bless you. And if you don't mind God, the things that I've blessed you with is going to turn into a curse. Okay? Is that what he says? Sure. Back there in Malachi, that's what he said. "I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings." That's what he's saying. I'll take the very things that ought to be a blessing to you, and I'll turn it into a curse. Are you hearing what God said? See, why? Because we won't obey God. We won't listen to God. We won't do what he says. I know we're not under the law. You understand that. I understand that too. But you want the principles and the precepts of God's word is true. Amen. If you want blessings of God, mind God. Mind him and do what he says. Do you agree with that? You see, that's what God is saying. If not, then there's going to be some cursings brought upon our life. You see, no, not against our soul, not taking away salvation. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about life is not going to be what God intended for it to be if we don't mind God. Okay? So that's what he's saying to them. You ought to take warning that this is the way it is. I want to show you what he says back in Malachi. In verse 3, he gives one of the things that he will curse. He says, and he's talking to the priest here, and he's saying to them, "Behold, I will corrupt your seed." First of all, what he is saying is to the priest, your very own children, your very own family, I'm going to curse because you will not stand for God and do right. And I'm going to curse your seed. I want to tell you something. I am very thankful. I do not know why. I don't know why back in 1970 that God reached his hand down to me and said, I want you to preach the Bible, the Word of God. I want you to preach. I don't understand all those things. I think most preachers that are called don't understand the depth of that. I don't really think they do. They don't understand why. I do not understand. But I'm very grateful that at the very last of the sons of Walter Ross and Lena Ross, the seventh son, God put his hand on him and said, I want you to preach. Amen. And for 36 years, I've been doing that. Amen. Preaching the Word of God for 36 years. I don't understand it. I don't. Honestly, I don't. But God did that. I'm very thankful. And you know what else I'm also thankful of? I'm thankful. Don and I have four children. And I want to tell you something. We love our children. I love them from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate each and every one of them for who they are and what God is doing with them. I'm thankful. But I do want to say something. I'm also thankful that in the middle of my sons that God reached down and said, I want you to continue the lineage. I want you to be a preacher. And he anointed Jerry with the Holy Spirit of God to preach the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. And then God has not stopped. God has taken two of my grandsons and continued that lineage. Aaron and Ben. And what I'm saying to you is this. I feel humbled. I feel so humbled that God would do such a thing as that. But he has. He's continued the line. He's blessed the seed. Now what I'm praying for now is that he'll continue that down into my great-grandchildren. No, that's what I'm praying. Now listen to me, folks. Don't get discouraged because God didn't call one of your children to be a preacher. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, from the standpoint of this preacher, I am so grateful that God continued the seed, and he's continuing to bless the seed. He told the priest here, I'm going to curse your seed. Serious business. Amen. So I think in this that I'm like you, we don't want our seed cursed. You see, we don't want those who's coming behind us, those whom are ours, we don't want them cursed. And that's what he was saying here, you see. If we disobey God, he said, I'm going to curse your seed. That's what he told the priest in that day. Now there was another curse that he said, and that's in verse number 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. You say, Brother Ross, what in the world is he talking about, putting dung on the faces? Back in the Old Testament, the solemn feast, the unclean organs of an animal, the unclean organs, and also the dung that came from that animal was carried outside the city and burnt. It was done away with. It was not clean, and they took it outside the city. He said, I'm going to take that dung and spread it on your faces. I believe he was basically talking here in a type situation. He's saying, I'm going to bring shame and humiliation to you priests for what you've done. That would be something. He would take the dung and spread on their faces. And he says, not only that, if you'll notice, he says, a solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. He says, now you'll be taken outside the city too. Brought shame and humiliation to the priest. And I say to you today, I believe there's shame and humiliation upon the pastorate and the preaching today many times from people who are shameful and behave themselves shameful. And it's a shameful thing. And you know what? He says, I'll move you out. I'll take you out to the place of dishonor. I'll take away your honor. And that's what he done. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Do you see the seriousness of it? Do you think it's any different today? Do you think, and we can talk about the preachers, and we can talk about the deacons, and we can talk about Sunday school teachers and all of those that are responsible to do right. But folks, he's talking about all of us. It's a shame. It's a shame when we don't do right. You understand that? No, it's a shame. You see, put dung on our faces. Maybe not literally, but you understand what? We bring shame and dishonor to the Lord's name, you see, when we do that, you see. I want to show you something over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 14th chapter. I want us to look at verse number 7. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee a prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in my eyes. But thou hast done evil all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. You know, I realize that we're not kings. He was the king of Israel. Jeroboam was. And I understand we're not kings, and I understand that the terribleness of this curse that was brought upon Jeroboam's house certainly was because of the great responsibility he had. But I do believe principles and precepts of God's word are true for us today. And I believe, and the reason I stopped there, I just want you to listen. He says, but has done, in verse 9, but has done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images, provoked me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off it from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. He said to Jeroboam, I'm going to take your lineage away from you. There's no going to be no man's going to live. I'm going to take the lineage away from you. And then he says, him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. For the Lord has spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thy own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And that was Jeroboam's son. He had sent his wife to check with the prophet about what was going to happen to their son. His son had died or was sick, and he said he's going to die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because of him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. What he's saying is this: Jeroboam, all of your descendants are going to die, and they're not even going to be buried except this one child. We're going to leave them on top of the ground and let the dogs eat them and let the birds pluck them. Now that's quite a judgment. Why was it? Because Jeroboam sinned against God and turned people away from God. And he did that. I thought, well, that is some judgment to have your children. Think about it, if that was your children and they died and they just was left on top of the ground. You was not allowed to bury them. They just leave them on top of the ground and you watch the dogs eat them and the birds pluck them. That's exactly what he said to Jeroboam. I'm trying to get over the principle to you and help us to understand the seriousness of not walking with God, not doing right as a priest of God. And that's what he was talking about back here in Malachi. He said, listen, there's going to be judgment. Why? Because you've not done right. You've defamed the priesthood. You have just made it as though it is nothing. Well, listen, folks, you think for 1 minute that God does not care how you and I live once we get saved? You don't get saved by living right. There's nobody ever gets saved by living right. You get saved by putting faith and trust in Christ, realizing your need of salvation, putting your faith and trust in him. But after you get saved, God expects us to learn and to grow, and he gives us time to do that. He gives us the means to do that, to grow and to walk with God. So he says to the priesthood, you see, that this is what's going to happen. You see, these principles are true today. God does not looking for lip service. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. Lip service don't mean a thing. I've told you that before. I get so sick and tired some people talking because they never follow up with what they say. I want to hear, God wants to see, hear words, yes, but he wants to see follow up on words. He wants to see a life that does right. Now listen to me, folks. I want you to put yourself in my position right here, right now. Let's say you was preaching tonight. Would you tell everybody, don't worry about anything, everything's just fine? You know, you don't have to walk with God. It's not important that you walk with God. What would you tell the people if you had an opportunity tonight? What would you tell the people? How would you preach? See, that's what we've got going around the country today. Not warning the people. Not warning people that there is a judgment coming. Amen. And we need to warn. We need to be preachers of the word of God. We need to tell people the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm simply saying to you folks, that's what God was trying to tell the priest here. He was trying to tell them, you know what, there's judgment coming, and you've just made a mess out of the priesthood. You've not done right. And so because of that, there's going to be judgment coming. I'm not going to go back to the Numbers, the 25th chapter, but back there in the 25th chapter of Numbers is the story of Phinehas. And what had happened, these people of Israel had mixed with the Midianite people, and they had began to marry them, you know, when old Balaam encouraged all of this, and they began to marry them outside of what God said to do and all of that. And so finally it came down to a judgment day, and God began to slay the people. He said, those who have brought these kind of women, these Midianite women, into the camp, I want you to slay them. And there was thousands and thousands slain that day. But what's interesting about it is that one of the men was so bold that he brought a Midianite woman in, and the Bible says in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation, he was so bold that he took her into his tent. Phinehas, which was he was the grandson of Aaron. Phinehas was the grandson of Aaron. He went and got a javelin and went in and killed them both. And because of that, God stayed the plague. Now, it's interesting. You go back here and read the 25th chapter. It's so interesting because he said, in other words, he said, Phinehas stood for God. And he stopped the foolishness. I just believe with all my heart, folks, that it's about time that some folks stood up for right. Now, I'm not just talking about, what was it, Jonathan, you said the other night as you was preaching, you said silence is what? Acceptance. You be still and it's like you're accepting what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? See, we don't need just silence. We need people like Phinehas that got up and done something about it. Stood for God. You see, that's what we need. That's what we need today. You understand? You hear me? See, silence is not always bliss. There's a time to be silent. Jesus proved that to us. But there's this time to stand for right. And I mean stand for right. Amen? And there's just a time when we need to do that, you see, because in verse number 4 of chapter 2, he said, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He had made a covenant with Levi, and in fact, in that story of Phinehas, he said he made a covenant of peace with Phinehas. And if you read that, it's so interesting. And he said Phinehas's children were blessed in a perpetual priesthood, and his children were blessed. You know why? He stood up for God. See, he wasn't going to let shame be brought to the name of the Lord, so he stood up for it. And that's what I'm saying to you that we need to do today. We just need to stand up for what's right and do something about what's wrong. Amen? Sure we do. And he says then, and he says, my covenant was with him of life and peace. You see, that's who he's talking about when he said this. He's talking about with Levi. In other words, the descendant of Levi, you see. And he said that he had a covenant of life and peace. And boy, if you take time sometime, go back and read that. It's so interesting because he just says, God just blessed him and blessed his family, blessed his seed and all this. Why? Because he stood for something. And God made a covenant with him. Amen. So we find then, he's saying here to the priest, but you're doing just the opposite. You don't have a covenant of peace and life anymore because you're doing just the opposite with the priesthood, you see. The priests of the Old Testament were supposed to teach the people the law of God. That was one of their duties. And then the people, in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, if you read that, the people then were to take the word of God and to teach it to their children. Now, in all seriousness, isn't that what we're supposed to do? You see, we get up and we get taught the word of God. Amen. And what are we supposed to do with it? Well, we're to teach it to our children. Don't give all the teaching over to the preacher and the Sunday school teacher. You do it. Teach them the Bible, the Word of God. It's your responsibility to do that. See, you know, we only got a short time together. Amen? But to teach our children the Word of God, that's what Israel was supposed to do. Now, in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2, he says, the law of truth was in his mouth. He's talking about the priest here. And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from the iniquity. You hear what he said? He said, these priests of old, what did they do? He said, they didn't have, they talked right. Their lips did not speak wrongly. And they walked with God. They done right. And because of that, they turned many away from iniquity. Now, what's he saying to us? Well, you walk right. You do right so that you can turn many away from iniquity. Amen. You're not going to get anybody saved if you don't live right. Living right is not salvation, but living right is absolutely necessary when we get saved to be able to turn other people to Christ. You understand that truth. You know that truth, you see. So he says in verse 6 there, and then he said in verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. In other words, keep, the word keep there means to guard it. To guard the knowledge of the truth of the word of God, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He said, the priest of those days, people ought to seek the message that God has given them. They ought to hear it. They ought to listen to it. You see why? Because it's a message from God. They're messengers of God. Amen. But then he says, the priest of Malachi's day was turning people away from God instead of to God. Turning people to iniquity instead of away from iniquity. That's what they was doing. And in verse number 8, he says, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you hear what he said? He said, you know what they've done? You've departed away from the priesthood. You've departed away from what you're supposed to be doing as a priest. And what happens? You've caused many to stumble at the law, caused many folk to stumble because you turned away from the word of God. See, that's what God would say to us if we don't walk with God. That's what God's saying to us. You're turning people away. You say, I can be neutral. No, you can't be neutral. You've got to be for God or you're against God. And we've got to turn people, turn multitudes unto the Lord. And then he says in verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible. You know, over in chapter 1, verse number 7, at the end of it, he said that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. They was bringing the table of the Lord, the altar of God, and it was contemptible because of the way they was making offerings and their uncleanness and all the things they were doing. Now God says, therefore also have I made you contemptible and base before all the people. In other words, what does people think about the priesthood? I'm talking about back here. They said it's base and contemptible. And I say to you that multitudes today, we're seeing the very same thing. There's people all the time say, yeah, I know this preacher done this and that. And I know a lot of it's just a bunch of baloney. I know that, but at all times it's true. I know this Christian that said he was a Christian, you know, but he done this and he done that. And people begin to look at the Christians as though they're nothing, you see. They don't have a true testimony. Do you understand what he's saying? God said, don't you do that. He says, before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways. Why was it that way? Because they haven't kept the ways of God, but have been partial in the law. They were showing partiality to the law. In this message, he's talking to priests. You're a priest. I'm a priest. In the way that I've talked about, the way I've showed you, we're priests and kings unto God. And we have responsibilities. We have responsibility to live right and do right and show forth the truth of the Word of God and be an example. We have no right to do anything else, because we're going to turn many to iniquity. You believe that? I do too. I believe that's what God is saying to us as God's people from the book of Malachi. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your grace, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the true, the living God. And Lord, help us to recognize the fact that we do have a priesthood, Lord, that we're priests and kings of God through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior. Now, once again tonight, Lord, should there be any here without Christ, oh, I pray that this will be the day of their salvation. They'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that they might be saved. Thank you for the wonderful plan of salvation. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.